Let me bring in Sarah Schoen from Clarion Partners. Sarah, we're going to get you to discuss some of the reporting issues in terms of sustainability. So take it away.
Great, Greg. Thanks for having me, and I'm glad to be here talking about these issues. So let's take a quick look at green building certifications. Energy Star and LEED were both developed in the 1990s, and Energy Star covers just energy consumption, whereas LEED covers pretty much everything, very comprehensive. And there have been competitors to LEED for years, and GRESB, which I'll talk more about later, the Global Real Estate Sustainability Benchmark, is now awarding the same a number of points for LEED certification and for many other certifications, including these newer health and wellness certifications like WELL and FitWell certification, which have come out just in the last few years. And all of these certifications, Energy Star, LEED, et cetera, measure and certify individual buildings, and Drew did touch on that a little bit. The other main approach to real estate sustainability is to measure at the company, fund, or portfolio level. So PRI, Principles for Responsible Investment, which was started by Kofi Annan in 2005, assesses companies' responsible investment policies and practices and includes a module that focuses specifically on real estate. GRESB, again, the Global Real Estate Sustainability Benchmark, was founded in 2009 as a real estate-specific sustainability benchmark, and both PRI and GRESB are widely used by investors and companies today to measure real estate sustainability. SASB is kind of a newer player on the scene, the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, and it issued real estate standards just in 2016, 5 years after SASB was first established, to improve the quality and comparability and effectiveness of sustainability disclosure. And SASB has a really heavy focus on financial materiality. Its real estate standards are still provisional, and they really have not been widely adopted yet. And then the last kind of major strategy that I see often that I wanted to mention is this custom sustainability survey approach that many investors don't use any of the formal sustainability reporting frameworks, and instead they rely on their own custom surveys to measure manager and company sustainability. Some of them use both the formal frameworks and their own surveys. Either way, many of these custom surveys ask about PRI participation and PRI grades. And aside from that aspect, for the most part, they're very, very focused on administrative sustainability activities like policy and practices, and they tend not to be very focused on sustainability performance. So I'll talk a little more about the different sustainability reporting systems later, but first I want to highlight this research by Harvard Business School and University of Minnesota professors on the importance of materiality in the correlation between sustainability and financial performance. So their finding in 2015 was that the correlation between sustainability and financial performance is mediated by the materiality of the sustainability issues pursued. So this is not in any way a real estate specific study. Drew really covered the real estate research very thoroughly. But what they found is that firms with good performance on material sustainability issues and concurrently poor performance on immaterial sustainability issues actually performed the best financially. They also found that investments in immaterial sustainability issues were associated with average or in some cases actually inferior financial performance. And lastly, they found that 80% of current sustainability disclosures, you know, in the market today are immaterial, meaning they have no correlation to positive financial performance. So for me, this is very interesting when I look at, you know, how I spend my time as a sustainability director and how my peers and other companies spend their time. And so much of it seems like it is focused on issues that are probably not material by these standards. So back to LEED for a moment. Many investors measure real estate sustainability by looking at LEED certifications in their portfolios. And this makes sense because LEED is, you know, back to the 90s, one of the earliest attempts and tools for pursuing real estate sustainability and for measuring it. and LEED covers a lot of topics. Very, very comprehensive. So A, it means something different for each building that is LEED certified. And B, it reflects a focus on many topics that may not be high priority for investors. In other words, it covers a lot of topics that are likely financially immaterial. So on that note, much of what LEED requires is policy, not a very direct or always an effective measure of actual sustainability performance. And this issue has gotten a lot of attention when it comes to buildings that earned LEED certification at the time they were built, but then don't necessarily perform at the expected level of efficiency, and I mean resource efficiency in that case. And Drew mentioned as well that LEED is not always the best indicator of sustainability performance because there are non-LEED buildings that perform better, actually, than LEED buildings. So it's not a perfect measure. The second thing is that sustainability performance is much more likely to be financially material than sustainability policy. So this is just another way in which LEED may not be the most efficient or effective measure because it's relatively policy focused. It's not just focused on performance. And lastly, just because it measures individual buildings, it's not a portfolio level indicator. So if you use LEED as a proxy for sustainability at a portfolio level, you're excluding the sustainability performance of buildings that are not LEED certified for whatever reason. So whether they're strong performers or not, you're just not able to capture that if LEED versus not LEED is the metric that you're using. So just kind of an incomplete measure in that sense at the portfolio level. So the principles for responsible investment, again, UN supported, are very popular, but the PRI assessment, which many, many firms complete every year, is very focused on policies and practices and other administrative sustainability activities rather than on sustainability performance. So PRI has a special module just for real estate, and that module and the core module actually both include one question that does ask about progress toward sustainability goals. But neither of those actually measure performance in a way that allows the sustainability performance of different companies to be compared, so they're not comparable. And also, these questions that ask about progress, in other words, performance, are actually not included in the PRI grades of A through E, or really A plus through E. So PRI grades, which companies get for each PRI module they complete, so you get a grade for the core module, you get a grade for the property module, the real estate module. And these grades are based entirely on this administrative sustainability activity rather than on performance in any way. And because of this, PRI ends up really rewarding adopting policies and practices so that certain boxes can be checked and points can be earned, and it really doesn't encourage improving sustainability performance. So GRES is also very popular among real estate investors and managers and companies, but it too measures administrative sustainability activity like policies and practices much more than it measures and rewards sustainability performance. GRES actually covers hundreds of topics with a great deal of detail related to policies and practices, and only 3% of the overall GRES score and 4% of the subscore called a section called Implementation and Measurement, which is supposed to be very focused on measurement, only 4% of that subscore is actually impacted by energy and water performance. There are many other parts of that section that are impacted by data, which is an important piece of measuring performance, but actual performance, 4% of the score. So just GRESB's core module includes more than 300 sub-questions. Some of them are very small, but it's, you know, quite a lot of detail. It's very heavy. And I think it doesn't need to be that heavy to effectively measure sustainability performance or to encourage performance improvement. GRESB also uses a very complex scoring methodology, and it rewards expertise in essentially teaching to the test, in other words, earning GRESB points. And, you know, the paper pushing comes along with that more than it actually rewards improving sustainability performance, as I mentioned, with the percentage of the score that's actually impacted by performance. So there have also been some issues with data quality with GRES and with comparability as different participants interpret questions and terminology and guidance differently from others. And it's likely that many of the hundreds of issues that GRES covers are immaterial. That's probably a matter of opinion, but if you take a look yourself at all the topics, I think it would be hard to argue that every single one of them is is material, or top priority at the very least. So these issues are all related to the vast quantities of information that GRES collects, a quantity that I obviously think is, you know, a little bit of overkill. And the point being that GRES may not be the best option for investors that want a streamlined, manageable approach to sustainability efforts. And it also may not be the best option for investors that really want to focus on material issues and really want to focus on performance. So SASB came onto the scene just in 2011 in response to investor dissatisfaction with the quality of the sustainability data available to investors and the reality that it generally doesn't make it easy to compare sustainability performance of different firms. And SASB is focused on financial materiality, maybe almost to a fault in that it doesn't require reporting on many issues that are actually important to investors. But from what I can see, that shouldn't stop investors from using SASB standards, because there is some flexibility in how investors can use them to include and exclude topics they care about. And interestingly, despite all the research that Drew gave us a great overview of, SASB did not identify LEED certification as a material sustainability issue. And I've heard a lot of skepticism, and I think someone even asked this question about the studies missing, you know, conflating factors that they didn't control for. But I believe that SASB's reasoning on this was actually that LEED measures just so many different factors that are not material, that it's not an efficient measure of material factors. And, you know, what SASB's analysis may not consider enough is the marketing value of LEED certification. And, you know, regardless of whether LEED measures material factors or mostly immaterial factors, it clearly has, or, you know, may have marketing value, you know, regardless of that. So that ties interestingly into Drew's mention of the effect of LEED in the red versus the blue markets, which to me seems like an indicator that it might be largely about marketing and public perception, but I've never seen that mentioned before about red versus blue, and I thought that was really interesting. Anyway, when I first looked at the SASB real estate standards, I thought they did a very clean job of identifying material issues and keeping it really simple, really focusing on energy and water and climate change adaptation, which means, you know, dealing with flooding and other negative effects from more extreme weather. But then I took a closer look at its tenant sustainability impacts section, which also addresses energy and water, but it includes metrics that are less connected to actual performance, like green lease clauses, which I would call more of a policy thing, and tenant metering, and, you know, each company's approach to measuring and incentivizing and improving sustainability, tenant sustainability impacts, which I would put in the practices category, along with the administrative sustainability activities that PRI and GRES really focus on. So generally, I think SASB is a big step in the right direction, but I think that separating energy and water into two categories, one for landlords and one for tenants, adds unnecessary complexity when they could all be measured using the same metrics and really performance metrics, which I'm a bigger fan of than the administrative sustainability factors. So the punchline is that the widely used sustainability measurement and benchmarking tools that are out there today have limitations, and it is possible to take a more streamlined, more effective approach that's really focused on the most important issues and on performance, the goal being to serve the interests and priorities of investors. So I really like this quote from real estate sustainability software company Measurable, because I think it expresses a sentiment that's very common, but it's rarely stated this frankly, and that is that sustainability measurement today amounts to reporting on a vast array of dubious indicators to a multitude of non-governmental organizations. So I think a lot of people who are involved in the nuts and bolts of sustainability see it that way, but that may not kind of make it to the top when you're looking in from the outside. But the quantity and the lack of coordination across these different frameworks has really gotten pretty out of control, and sweet people do talk about that, but this is kind of the state of affairs at this moment. And lastly, I just really want to highlight the real opportunity here for investors to bring some leadership and some discipline to prioritizing and focusing sustainability efforts, and also to focusing on performance rather than administrative activities. Because performance is what's material, and I think that everyone who's involved with sustainability wants it to be effective for investors and for society at large. And for those investors that are not yet committed to the administratively heavy sustainability reporting frameworks, mainly PRI and GRES, there's a real opportunity to kind of leapfrog over those to a more streamlined, manageable, and effective sustainability approach. So I will leave it at that and see if we have any questions.
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, I do have a few questions. Actually, first, let me just see if I've got the upshot of your discussion right. And to me, what you're saying is that, you know, all these various measures or organizations or certifications, there's no one perfect way to measure sustainability. They all have advantages and they all have disadvantages. Is that a good way to look at it?
Yeah, and what I'm really saying is that most of the activity that's happening today is not really focused on performance or on material factors. So, yes, there are advantages and disadvantages, but I think the SASB approach of focusing much more and prioritizing much more and really looking at performance and materiality is overall a stronger approach, and that I think the entire sustainability measurement and assessment world will move in that direction over time. And that, for investors, there's really an opportunity to kind of shape how that moves and how quickly it goes and how effective sustainability, is, especially in the next 10 years. Because I think to date, a lot of energy and resources have gone into it's really heavy reporting activity, and a lot of resources have also gone into actually improving performance. But the ratio, the split between those two has not been, I would say, optimal. And we could, as an industry, really shift focus and resources a lot more to the activities that matter and away from this kind of paper pushing policy focus that, you're not really sure what the impact is and, is it really being effective or not.
And you mentioned sort of materiality in there, which actually brings us to a question from the audience, sort of referring to the slide, I believe. And my interpretation of the slide, which I think is really interesting, is that you are best off if you concentrate on, the material or basically the important factors in terms of sustainability, and you don't waste your time on the unimportant stuff, which I think is kind of the point you were making about concentrating on actual things that are material in terms of performance. And the question from the audience is simply this, what is the difference between immaterial and material?
So that's a good question. And SASB's whole goal is to identify that, but, they use the U.S. Supreme Court definition, which is focused on, the mix of information for investors and would it make a difference. And I think, what SASB is really trying to get at is, does this impact financial performance or does it not? And they want to see, on behalf of investors, many investors want to see sustainability issues that actually matter for financial performance as opposed to the full range of sustainability issues, which can get very broad and may or may not matter as much to investors. Does that answer that?
Yeah, I think that answers it. And certainly, I will remind the audience that if we don't have time to get to all your questions, we can always follow up offline afterwards. Another question, and this is maybe sort of a thought experiment in a sense, and I think what it's getting at is, you talked about the building level measures, LEED, Energy Star, and that sort of thing, and also about the sort of company or portfolio level measures, your GRESB and your PRI. So the question is, if you had a portfolio of properties, and they were all LEED certified, let's say LEED Platinum, does that necessarily then mean that you get a high score on GRESB or, UNPRI?
No, so UNPRI doesn't really measure LEED at all. I think it's about 15% of the GRESB score that's impacted. Actually, it might be 7% of the overall GRESB score is impacted by the green building certifications. So no, I mean, they're both very complex, and most of what goes into them is just policy stuff. So even if you have every single building LEED certified, in the example of GRESB, if you don't have the right policies in place, you still would not have a very high score.
So there is definitely
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, so there definitely is a real bifurcation between the building level analysis and the portfolio level analysis.
Yeah, and part of it is that, you know, you're never going to have